This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and you are listening to Season 5 of the Floor Rejects podcast, The Isle of Artemisia. Welcome back to the Floor Rejects podcast. This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, here with another chapter of The Isle of Artemisia. If you missed last week or you're new here, every week I read a chapter of a story that I've been writing. This season is The Isle of Artemisia, and I follow it up with a little bit of commentary and just general how's you doings, you know? Last week in our chapter, Barrett and the group returned to the beach. For some of them, it was the first time. For Anaxos and Barrett, it was a return. And then kind of at the end of the chapter, Barrett starts to have these inklings towards Anaxos, these kind of erotic sexual inklings, and then a boat is spotted in the water in the distance, and that's where we left off. So let's get into chapter 16. Chapter 16, Hope. Barrett runs to the edge of the water, Anaxos' hot, wet body falling from his mind as distant green and red lights flash, making his heart flare with imaginings of a warm bed and cold beer. He jumps up in the air, waving his arms and screaming, not caring who heard him on the aisle. He turns and sees Anaxos frantically throwing the remainder of the wood on top of the fire. The other three come rushing out from the hut. Without a word between them, they all start to mimic Barrett, leaping and screaming at the top of their lungs. Behind them, the fire begins to flare, spikes of flames reaching up to lick the stars as Anaxos joins them, bouncing from foot to foot, his hand cupped around his mouth as he shouts in the heat of the fire. It grows behind them, and Barrett cannot see any way that they won't be noticed. The boat was drifting maybe a quarter of a mile out to sea, and its lights were so close that Barrett was sure he could swim out to the boat if he tried. That idea sparked an idea in him, and quickly he begins to strip his body, going into autopilot as he kicks off his shoes, peels off his shirt, socks, and pants, and runs into the surf in a frenzy of adrenaline. Barrett! Anaxos calls after him, but Barrett ignores the man, knowing he had to get to that boat. He pushes hard into the cold water, ignoring the fear that was creeping up his spine as he pumps his arms, rolling them over his head. The sea pushes back against him, smacking him in the face as he rushes to swim to the boat. He hears his name again, now distant and muted by the sound of waves crashing over his head. He ignores it, pressing forward, swimming as hard as he can until the boat actually seems within reach. Just as he can start to make out the shape of someone on deck, a huge wave rushes at him, toppling him head over heels in the water. He spirals deep down into it, the undercurrent sucking him deeper. He can't see, his eyes blinded by both the darkness and the salt. He screams under the water, sheer panic rushing over his body as he's pulled farther and farther down. Under the sea, it's quiet, and in the distance he spots it through the blur of the water. The green landing lights of the boat. He kicks his legs, his lungs burning. He swims towards them, feeling as if his body would implode from lack of oxygen. He swims as hard as he can, but as he reaches the light, he hits hard, caught up into something. He thrashes against it for a moment, but when his eyes clear for just a second again, he realizes it wasn't the landing lights, but glowing green eyes. He fights harder until he can't anymore, and his mouth opens involuntarily. He needed air, but nothing but salty cold water rushes into his mouth. He chokes, sputtering, and just when he thinks he would drown, the water breaks over his head. He gasps, clawing at the arms wrapped tightly around his body. "Get off!" he chokes. He claws and scratches, trying and failing to get free, and then there's a hand over his mouth. "Quiet!" Anaxos hisses. Barrett stills. The water laps quietly around them. The boat was so close. It was 500 feet away at most, but Anaxos held them still in the water. Then Barrett saw them, the eyes emerging from the depths of the sea bobbing towards the boat. "No," he moans into Anaxos's palm. The others climb up the side of the boat, one by one, onto deck. They walk in single file across the bow of the ship, surrounding what seemed to be the only person on board. The boat Goer does not move, and then, to Barrett's horror, his eyes light up, a terrifyingly familiar sight. The figure walks stiffly to the edge of the boat, and unceremoniously he tips over the edge, the others leaping more gracefully overboard after him, save for one, who remains on the boat. Barrett cranes and twists his neck, freeing his mouth. "We can take him," Barrett says, and after a moment, Anaxos lets go of him, and together they swim towards the boat. They swim up to the back of it, away from where the lone other stands at the front. They crawl up silently, slithering through the onboarding ladder and crouching on deck. "I'll go. Stay here," Anaxos says. And before Barrett can argue, Anaxos stands and begins to run full tilt towards the front of the ship. Barrett, not one to start obeying orders now, rushes after him, stopping just short of being seen by anyone, and peeks around the corner of the cabin wall he hides against. Anaxos slams into the unsuspecting man and presses him hard against the railing of the ship. He punches him, the sound of fist to jaw leaving a sick feeling in Barrett's stomach. The two men scrabble, fighting for dominance, and the other man lands a hard punch to Anaxos' chest. He staggers back, winded. Barrett, not able to control himself, comes rushing out, and with a shriek of pure, unbridled panic, leaps up in the air, sinking a hard blow to the other's head. Barrett's hand immediately begins to burn, and he knows he must have broken something. He ignores it and wraps his arms tightly around the man's throat from behind. The man tears at him, scratching his face and arms, pulling his hair and flailing as the oxygen begins to dwindle, and his glowing eyes start to fade. Barrett, not wanting to kill anyone, lets go, and the man slumps to deck, gasping and clutching weakly at the planking. He wears tattered pants not unlike Anaxos and a hooded canvas top. The hood had been pulled over his head this whole time, concealing his features. Anaxos rushes towards them, now recovered, and picks the stranger up under his arms, shoving him like a rag doll against the wall of the cabin. The man collapses, his arm over his face. This whole time they've been fighting in the dark, silhouettes dancing macabrely. Anaxos marches coolly towards him, ready to make a strike one final time, but the other man scrambles up and for the first time lets the moonlight illuminate his face, and he pulls his hood down. "Anaxos," the man breathes in a heavy English accent. Blood drips down his wide, square jaw. He smiles, rows of gleaming teeth shining in the otherwise dark night. "Elliot?" Anaxos whispers, stopping dead in his tracks. The man takes a step forward and Anaxos backs up as if he was seeing a ghost. "Do not be scared, Anaxos," the Brit says, taking another step forward. Anaxos is now backed up against the railing of the boat. "Stay away," he murmurs, sounding as though it took all of his strength to say it. "Is that what you want?" Elliot asks, his voice low and slow. Barrett takes a step towards them, but Anaxos holds out a hand, warning him to stay away. Barrett does now obey, rooted to the spot as he watches. "Stay back. I want nothing to do with you," Anaxos says, his voice thready, hands grasping the railing behind him fearfully. "Be still, Anaxos. You know me," Elliot says softly, and he reaches out, letting his left hand drift up to the softly stroke Anaxos' face. Anaxos shivers visibly, pressing even harder against the railing. "I haven't known you for over 100 years, Anaxos says, leaning back as Elliot leans closer. "I know that isn't true. I know you held on to it. The letter, the one I wrote you. I searched your hut myself," Elliot says, and Barrett can feel a sinister energy rolling off the man. But Anaxos is enthralled, stuck in place. The letter, the one Barrett had read that day huddled in the hut. This was E. As he put it together, Elliot reaches out with both hands and took either side of Anaxos' face. It was so gentle, so familiar. Anaxos reaches up and places his hands over the other man's. It would be sweet and tender if it was another scenario, but at this time, Barrett sucks in a breath, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Elliot leans in, gingerly kissing Anaxos, who whimpers loudly as their lips meet. After a moment, though, the entrancing, fearsome man leans away. Anaxos is dumbstruck, his mouth hanging open, his eyes glistening in the moonlight. His thumbs gently rub against the back of Elliot's hands and he smiles, It was a smile of relief, and Barrett feels a strange sinking feeling in his chest that he can't quite place. Just as he begins to break out of the trance he was in watching these two, Elliot rears back. He digs his fingers into the flesh of Anaxos's face and with a swift move slams their heads together. Anaxos yelps and collapses to the deck in a pile. Barrett shrieks and Elliot stumbles back, clutching his head. Barrett begins to move towards the pair, but Elliot holds out an arm now. "Try it, and you die," he says, shaking his head and standing up straight. Barrett contemplates listening, but instead charges towards Elliot, ready to kill him for what he had witnessed. "I warned you," Elliot says quietly and brandishes a knife, holding it out at Barrett. Barrett stops and puts his hands up. "Now, let me tell you something. You may as well give up, child. The Isle of Artemisia does not simply let those it desires leave. Why do you think poor Anaxos is still here? He has wished to leave since we were stolen away in the night. The Artemisia leaf keeps us alive, but the isle keeps us here. It will always find a way to pull you back. Watch," he says with a dark tone. Then, with a swift movement, he plants a foot on Anaxos's chest and kicks the body over the edge of the boat. With a splash, he's gone, and Elliot's eyes begin to glow again. "Better hurry, boy. I don't think the plant will protect him if he drifts out to sea," Elliot says with an evil chuckle. Barrett leaps overboard, splashing down into the cold water already thrashing about, looking for Anaxos as the boat's engine sputters to life and begins to spin in the water, heading away from them, towards the isle, taking with it Barrett's best chance at getting home. I think, arguably, that was one of the best chapters I've written so far in this story. I think. I don't know, because I'm, of course, a little bit biased, but it's certainly one of the more exciting chapters. It's not repetitive. It's completely new. We meet new characters, we really only meet one. But we meet a new character. It's obviously an important character. And he's interesting. I've found that a lot of the things that I write, kind of the characters are really one-dimensional. And sometimes that's okay. One-dimensional or predictable or cliche, I guess, is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, in a lot of genres of fiction, it's a good thing. People like cliches. They like things they can easily predict. They like stories that have a happy ending. That's why we like happy endings, because they're predictable. But sometimes my characters feel really one-dimensional. They feel really surface level. And Elliot, even just from the little bit I've written of him, and he wasn't a character I initially ever planned on actually introducing to the reader. He was just going to be this like figment of Anaxos's like past life that nobody ever met or saw. But I decided to shake it up. And I think that Elliot provides a new layer of complexity to Anaxos. I think it provides a weakness to Anaxos. I think that it gives the story a little bit more interest and intrigue. I think it provides a level of danger, like will he, won't he tell the others? Will he let people know what's going on? Or will he keep it a secret? Is he going to come back for Anaxos? Does he still have feelings for Anaxos? Does Anaxos still have feelings for him? There's so many questions that the introduction of this character into the reader's kind of zeitgeist raises. There's so many questions that this introduction raises that I think it will provide for a more interesting story going forward. I'm not going to be too hard on myself this week because I like this chapter. I think it's good. I like the imagery of the person who's actually sailing the boat just kind of flipping over the railing, his eyes glowing, because it brings us back to when Daniel and Nick and Crystal went missing, how their minds were just kind of taken over and they disappeared. And I think that this chapter kind of reaffirms that scenario and makes it seem like that can happen to just about anyone, that somehow it doesn't happen to Barrett and he doesn't really know why. I find that interesting. I think that adds another layer of intrigue. Why doesn't it happen to Barret like it did the others, right? And more importantly, is he like an Axos? Can he resist them when they come calling? Because the others, his friends, couldn't really resist them, but an Axos seems like he can resist them. He just eats the plant out of survival because he's stuck on this isle. But we don't really know that yet. That's just kind of speculation at this point. But I really like that imagery. I like the imagery. I really like this, the little bit of the scene where Elliot has an Axos pressed up against the railing, and he's intimidating this huge hulking man so much that he's like shaking against this railing, and he's just got him pinned. And there's something so tenuous and so erotic and so scary and so yucky at the same time about that. And I really like it. I don't know. There's a lot you could probably say about this chapter that could be better, but I like it. I think it's okay. I think it's pretty good. And I think that my reading of it was pretty good. It wasn't rushed. It wasn't so like meticulously perfect that I don't know. I really enjoyed this chapter. And I want to keep enjoying what I'm writing. So I've kind of come to the decision that if I have to skip a week here or there, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Because I am like running on empty all the time, you know, and you're not here to listen to me complain, but I'm just running on empty all the time. And this is just like kind of a second job to me, and I don't want it to be a job, so I don't want to treat it like it's a job, and I don't want it to feel like a job. I want it to feel enjoyable and fun. And so I need to prioritize it that way and give it that space to be fun and be enjoyable and be creative and be all that. But back to the chapter, I just really like it. I like the imagery of Barret getting sucked down into the water and just thrashing and being head over heels and being lost, and then thinking he sees the lights of the boat through the water, and then he bumps into something and it turns out it's a person with glowing green eyes. I don't know. I really like it. I think it's enjoyable. I think it's interesting. I really like it. That's all. That's all I can really say. How's your week been since we last spoke? Has it been good? I've got the hiccups. Let me tell you, it never fails. When I want to record, everything has to go wrong before I can record. And then during the recording, more things have to go wrong. Like, for instance, my cats have been silent all day, but as soon as I start recording, they've got to go in and out of the litter box 50 times, and you can hear them on the microphone. Or my neighbor's been quiet as a church mouse all day, and then as soon as I start recording, he comes out, gets in his manual, turns it on, and just sits there with it running. So you can probably, if you listen, yeah, pick up on that. And just like regular delays, it's hard to follow your passion sometimes and not feel like you're just running your head against a wall 24/7. It is. But I'm not here to depress you this week. I'm here to just chat with you. Has anything good happened in your week? No? Yes? No? Maybe? Well, that's good or bad, depending on what you said. Nothing particularly good or bad has happened to me this week. I got to see my family this weekend. That was fun. My mom cut my hair, and I love her so much, and she just gave me a little trim, and she seemed so tired, and so I was like, oh yeah, that's perfect, that's great. And really what I wanted was the big chop, you know. And so I came home and chopped it all off myself, and now I'm left looking like, I don't know what I look like, but it's certainly not good. And she's gonna see me again next weekend, and I'm sure she's gonna have a lot to say, but it is what it is. Oh, I'm tired. I'm on a diet because I'm just trying to take care of myself, and it's got me feeling tie. So I guess that's a good excuse to go this week. I don't know. I've been your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and this has been another chapter of the Isle of Artemisia for the Floor Rejects podcast, but I'm going to go before my stomach starts growling into the mic. So, bye.